Miss Angela, will you prop a couple of those doors open? I'm kind of stuffy. Y'all feeling a little stuffy in here? No? Paul said no. Paul's cold, but Paul's thin, his skin is so thin that he can feel the cold when it's 100 degrees outside. So, yeah, he'd rather it be 8. I know. Man, it's 112. As he progresses in age, that's the temperature he would like for the room to be. So 80? 80. How's everybody this morning? Are we good? All right, come on now. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. How's everybody this morning? Are we good? Yeah, everybody feeling good? I mean, if you think about it just for half a second, I'm going to get just a little morbid on you. Can I do that? Is that okay? We get a little morbid, okay? You ready? Your worst day of your life, when you die, you get to see Jesus. I mean, it ain't bad. It really ain't bad to be in this crew we in. It ain't a bad thing. We should, I mean, yeah, I got tough days. I got days where I wake up and I really don't want to. Wow. And so, really don't want to. And so you have those days like that, man, but just think about it. The worst time, just boom, you're gone. Kill over. Wham! Right now, you get to see Jesus. What a deal. What a deal. And so that's what I like to think about whenever it's like that time. You're just like, man, golly, what's going on? Is stuff happening, right? Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with it. So in light of having a good time, and since Paul is already uncomfortable, we ought to make him more uncomfortable. I think it's what we're going to do. In light of all that, what do you call an alligator in a vest? Yo, who got it? Yes. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, you're going to know this one because I've done this one before. I think I did it last year around the same time, okay? Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're that good at it. They're so good at hiding in trees, you don't ever see them. All right. One more. All right. Here, the last one, I promise. How do you keep a bull from charging? How do you keep a bull from charging? Take away his credit card. Yes. All right. Yeah, I don't like that one either. Okay. The visitors in the house are like, I am never coming back. We're done. What time did you say it was over? So good morning, everybody. This phase that we're in, we're going to be talking about vision. And you know, I've been kind of studying up on vision. We talked last week about how, grace, 2025 is a year of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Well, that grace is there to fulfill a purpose. The anointing is there for a purpose, for a thing to happen. We have to have a thing that we're attempting to make happen. Right? If we don't, then we're not doing anything. And the Bible clearly says that it's the doers that are blessed. So if you just hear, you're deceiving yourself into thinking you're doing something just by hearing it. So we've got to put together a plan for this year, for our lives, for tomorrow and the day after, to where we make sure that we are doers so that we can continue to experience the blessings of God. Without the doing, the blessings don't follow. Are y'all with me? Yep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Y'all know that one? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All of that has to do with going. It all has to do with movement. Even at the times that he says that I'll lay down by the still waters and he'll take me to the green grass, there's still movement there. He leads us to water. He leads us to green grass. We're constantly moving. If we don't move, then we're not fulfilling what God's plan is for our life, period. Y'all have heard the old saying, you can't steer a parked car, right? It's really difficult to get somebody to do something that's not moving. It's really difficult. It's difficult. However, here at CCAM, amen, we're not going to be those people, are we? No. We're going to be doing something, right? Yeah. We are doers because we know that it is the doers that are what? Blessed. And why are they blessed? And are we doing because we want to go after all the blessings and get all the stuff? No. But who would prefer to have a whole lot of bad things come to you in life? Who wants that? Is that your preference? Hey, you know what? I just want a whole bunch of bad stuff to happen to me between now and the time that I go on to see the Lord. That sounds like a great plan. I just want to be sick every day of my life. Every day when I wake up, I want my back to hurt. That's what I want. Every time I go to write a check, I want it to bounce. That's what I want. Every time I use my, well, yeah, we don't write checks anymore, do we, Ginger? We swipe a credit, a debit card. I just want to swipe it. It don't work. That's what I want. Is that what we're looking for out of this life? Is that really, seriously, I'm being for real here. So if that's not the case, then we want to experience the blessings of God in every area of our life, not just in our salvation, not just in our soul, but in every area of our life. We want to experience His goodness, His blessings. And for His blessings to take place, we have to be doers. If we're not doers, we're not blessed. We're deceiving ourselves into thinking we got something happening. Amen. Am I making sense here? Let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is the vision chapter. Every pastor around the nation over the next month is going to be using this scripture. Promise. They're going to throw it out there at some point. They're going to put it out there. Why are they going to put it out there? Because this, in my opinion, is exactly how God works. And I'm going to hopefully bring that out to you this morning. I hope I make sense. And if I don't, we're all going to go eat. We'll come back next week and try again, okay? How's that sound? So then the Lord answered me, and what did He say? He said to do what with the vision? What are we supposed to do with the vision? Who did their homework this past week? I know I did. Who did their homework? Oh, ain't got no hands going up. Uh-oh. Yeah, well, some of us lying in church. Yeah, I did it. There you go. I did it. Yes, sir. So our homework was to sit down and ask God, because you have not, because you ask not, sit down and ask God to reveal to us what He wants for us. You know, because I would much rather have what He has for me than what I want for myself. Amen? I'd much rather know what God has for me and experience that, because that's going to be way better. It's going to be way better than anything I could think of, right? So what do we do with the vision? We write it down and we make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it may tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What we are supposed to do is write things down. Emmett Smith. Do y'all remember Emmett Smith? Emmett Smith used to write down how many yards he was going to run every year when he played for the Cowboys. He wrote it down. Facts. I actually heard him speak one time I was in Florida. Heard him speak one time at this like big massive thing, and he was talking about that. He was talking about the importance of taking visions. He didn't say visions. He said taking goals and whatever goals you're wanting to achieve in your life, whatever the vision is in your life, to actually write it down. Because if we don't write it down and make it plain, what does it say? If you don't make it plain, back up one. Make it plain, then there's no way to read it nor to run and move forward. We forget. How many of y'all forget stuff? Right. Every last one. Who is like me, walks in the kitchen to try to remember why you went in there and it wasn't for food? Right? Turn down the radio so you can see better while you're driving. However, you could quote the entire song, Purple Rain, right now. That's me. I mean, easy like Sunday morning. We can do that one, right? We just don't remember. Our brains, we don't use the whole thing anymore. Adam did. He didn't have to write down. He didn't write back then. Didn't have to. He had his whole brain. And then whammo, here comes the devil and all that stuff happened and, you know, it got bad, got kicked out of the garden, and now the brains don't have the full capacity that they were supposed to have. We use a piece of it now, not the whole thing. So we have to help remind ourselves what it is. Because when we read it and remind ourselves, what's the next step in it? Make it plain so that he may what? Run who reads it. When you read it, you begin to run after and go after it. Because we're reminded that we need to do it. My phone is constantly going off. You want to know why my phone's constantly going off? It's reminding me of the things I'm supposed to do. Because I sit down and I actually type into my phone, remind me to do this at this time. And to remind me of those things so that I may run with them or that I may do them. So what we're talking about here and what when we get into vision, it's not simply so we can just go through some little exercise so that we can put it on the, write it down in a thing and put it away. No, this is for us to put down to remind ourselves of what it was that God has for us this year, what it is. He's got something for us. So anyway, I start doing this. Me. I start doing this. And I never realized how close vision was with faith. Never did I realize that. Vision and faith are brother and sister. No question. No question. Because I sit down and I'm starting to, all right, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I realized what was happening is that I was seeing things in my mind. Charles, I don't think I gave you this one, but it's 2 Corinthians 4:18. I started seeing these things in my mind that I knew that God wanted to have for me. We call that a vision, right? Y'all bear with me here. I'm making a point. And we call that a vision, and I started to see it in my mind. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. There are some things that we don't see yet in our lives, but yet we can see it with a vision. I prayed before we started that he would open up the eyes of our understanding that we may know the hope of his calling. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, I think it is. That he would open up the eyes of our heart. We have our heart, our spirit has eyes to see that is far beyond what you can see right now. Your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears have a way of tapping into what God truly wants for us. And we could start to see it. See and peer into the eternal. Not what's here, not this stuff here, not this, stuff that's not seen. Because everything we're looking at right now is dying. I don't care what it is. It's crumbling. This building, 1,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, won't be here if somebody don't keep it up. Just won't. Everything that we're looking at is temporary. It's temporal. It has a span of life. It is finite. But those things that we don't see yet, those things that God has for us, they're actually in the internal right now, and we could tap into it simply by asking him. Simply by asking him. Go to, Charles, take them to Proverbs 29:18. Everybody know that one? Are we there? Where there is no vision, what happens? But, there's a but. See, we quote that all the time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We quote that all the time, but we're only giving away half the verse. There's a but in here. You know, I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to teach a series called The Big But of God. That's what I'm going to do. Y'all just get ready. I'm so excited about it, I don't know what to do with myself. Because there's all kinds of stuff in the Bible. You'll read the Bible and it'll be like, blah, da, 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 but God. Oh, yeah, but this, but God. I just can't wait. I'm excited. But we're not going to preach that this morning. But what we are going to bring out is that there is a but, which is conjunction, junction. What's your function, right? It's combining and putting together two pieces of a thought into one thought, right? But he that keeps the law, happy is he. So if we don't have any vision, we perish. However, he that keeps the vision, is that what it said? What did it say? It's that law. He that keeps the what? The law, happy. I thought we were talking about vision. Let me tell you a story. It was a Wednesday morning, early. The sun was just breaking. And I was standing outside my front porch. I've got two dogs out there, and they're running around. And the sun started to peek through. I've got these really, really tall pine trees that are around the house. I've got a few oaks, but most of it's pine around the house. They're really tall, and I kind of live on the side of a hill. And the sun started to peek through the side of the hill just ever so slightly that morning. And, you know, it was a little cool, but it wasn't, like, super cold. It's a little cool. And my dogs were running around. And Cash, who's my favorite dog, just hunked over right there and relieved himself a number two right in front of me. So could y'all see that while I was saying it? Could you see it? See a dog bowed up. The trees. You know, Jesus said that he spoke in parables so that they would remember what he was saying and they would understand what he was saying, because they needed to see what the law was saying, what the word was saying. The word is constantly speaking to you a vision that it wants you to see. The word wants you to see a vision. It wants you to see in your mind's eye what's going on. It wants you to visualize yourself. In fact, I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that it's a mirror that reflects back unto us. The glory, it reflects back on us. Whenever we get into the word and we begin to look into God's word, it reflects back on us a vision of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. So then we get it and we write it down and make it plain. We take God's word and we start to see and visualize ourselves doing what God says that we could do and having what God says we can have and being all the things that the Bible says that we're supposed to be. We start to visualize all of that. We write it down and make it plain, and then what? Then that's whenever faith comes into action. See, what happens here, and I wrote this down. I don't normally write down little statements, but I wrote this down. Vision is the what you are hoping for, while hope is the trust that it will come to pass. If you remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen." At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Why? Because love fuels faith. And what's so great about faith is the lasso that will reach out there and grab the hope that's attached to our vision. God is going to lay out for each and every one of us a vision. I don't care if this is your last time here or your first time here. You're going to walk out these doors and God is going to show you something. I don't know who you are. It doesn't matter. You will see something in your mind's eye. Simply because you heard the word of God this morning, when you hear the word of God, you begin to see things in your mind's eye. The Holy Spirit is able to say 10,000 words more than I am in one this morning that doesn't even have anything to do with what I'm talking about. You're going to see it when you walk out. As soon as we walk out with it, if we write it down and make it plain, that vision can become a hope. Charles, can you do that? Can you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? I've taught on this before, I think, but I think it bears repeating. Y'all with me? Everybody good? The vision turns into a thing, or it doesn't turn into, but it brings with it Hebrews 11, verse 1. Check this out. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, modern vernacular, hope. Hope is that, you know, I hope that Jeremy gets taller one day. That's the way we use it. That's the way we use it in the modern vernacular. You know, I sure hope that Jeremy can get a little taller. I sure hope that Jeremy can have a 320-yard drive. You know, I sure hope so. I sure hope that he gets another haircut soon, you know? It's almost like we use it as if it were a wish. And faith don't have anything to do with wishes. God is not a genie. You don't rub a lamp and get 3 wishes in this deal. That's not how this works. This ain't magic. This ain't a fairy tale. This is real as real can be. In fact, Jesus called it truth, which supersedes any fact that may be in your life. The truth will zip right through it and cut it wide open. That's for those of us that have been to the court systems before, and there's a truth and then there's a fact, and you know, hopefully the facts don't really line up with what the truth really is, you know. That's the way we use hope now, as if it were a wish, a dream, right? Y'all with me? In the Bible, though, the definition of hope is completely different than what we use it for now. Y'all ready? Hope is simply, in one word, an expectation. It's an expectation brought about by something true. You hear a thing that's true, and since the thing is true, you begin to expect or hope it to come to pass. Not because you wish it will, but because it is coming to pass. And so our expectation or our hopes are in it. In fact, God calls himself, I think it's either Romans 12 or Romans 5. He calls himself the God of hope. And he says that he is the God of all hope is the way that it's said. So that's not what, it's not the wishes. He's the God of all expectation. He's the God that will bring to pass the vision that's laid in you. He's the God that will give unto you the hope or the expectation you need to bring that vision to pass. He will deliver unto you a hope. That if we simply reach out with our faith and grab onto that hope, it gets substance. Now faith is what? The substance of what? Those things that we're expecting based on the vision that we receive. The vision we receive comes from the Word. Are y'all seeing how this all fits together? Faith will actually give substance to what God has promised you. He has promised you a thing you can bring substance. Y'all not with me. Mark chapter 5. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Y'all not with me. I lost you for a second. I lost you. I don't want to lose you. I want us all to be found. And I'm all over the place with my stuff. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, 25. Amen. I hear all the Bible pages turning. Y'all don't think that's funny. I thought that was funny. Yeah. Better than my jokes. Yeah, amen. Who still has one of these? Does anybody still have these? Y'all still got them? Yeah, okay. There's a few of us. Yeah, hardcore. Y'all still write checks for your tithe too, don't you? Amen. Amen. Woo! Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened in her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." This is a fantastic explanation of how faith works. Initially, she had a problem. She had a flow of issue of blood that lasted for 12 years. She had a problem. She needed a solution and didn't know what to do. She went to all the doctors and spent all of her money and got worse. Are y'all with me? From that point, she what? Heard about Jesus. The Word comes in, and when the Word comes in, it begins to build in us what? A vision. A vision. She had a vision. because she started to say, sorry, Charles, you take it off there. Because she started to say to herself, if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she believed that so much that she started to act upon what she was saying based on what she had seen because she heard a thing. I'm going to do that one again. She moved and started to do what she had been saying that she was going to do or would happen based on a vision or something that she saw in her mind's eye because she heard a truth. She heard a truth that created a vision in her mind's eye. She began to have an expectation and spoke it out of her mouth and moved on it. If we want to see stuff happen in 2025, 2026, 2037, 2042, 2055, if we're still here, if we want to see those things happen, if we want to see our children, our grandchildren, if we want to have our grandchildren to stand up and have a testimony that they saw us doing things for God when they were little, if they want to see that, if they want to have that, then we have got to take the time to figure out what the vision is, write it down, start to talk about it, put our hope on it, expect it to come to pass, and expect it so much that we're willing to move on it right now. That's how you have life in the Christian walk. That's how we bring heaven to earth. How do we do it? We don't do it by just sitting on our hands and knees. That's part of it. We got to get on our hands and knees. We got to find out what he needs to say. We got to start to see the vision. If we don't see the vision, none of it. Get the vision. We got to start rolling. We got to roll. We got to get up. You got to get up off your feet on the ground and start walking around. Put some hands on some stuff. Make some things happen. And then the kingdom, your kingdom on earth as is in heaven will begin to happen right in front of you. And it's hanging on your grandmother's wall. He prayed that prayer right way back because he wanted to see it in 2025 in your life now. He wanted you to bring his kingdom here. And he wants it so bad, he's willing to give you the vision to get it done. He'll give you the hope to have an expectation that that vision will come to pass. He's given us and dealt to each one of us the measure of faith so that we could bring a substance to that hope that we have. And he'll be there with the grace and the anointing to make it happen when you touch it. You're set up for success. We are all set up for success. There is no way you could fail. There's no way you can fail. He hasn't set us up for failure at all. There's no way you could fail. All it takes is a vision. Grab a hold to something. Grab a hold to that vision. I'll never forget a good friend of mine. He wouldn't mind me saying it. Darren McDonald. Darren McDonald played music at Living Word for 1,050 years. He was a praise and worship leader there. Darren is a fantastic dude. Most of the stuff that you hear me say, he taught me. Okay? So Darren was phenomenally important in my life. I'll never forget. Darren wanted a motorcycle. All right. Not only wanted, like he had like a vision of him riding a motorcycle. Like he knew it was like God said, I have a motorcycle. I'm going to get a motorcycle. So he starts talking about getting a motorcycle. And even on his computer screen, the screensaver was a motorcycle. And then the desktop, you know, have your wallpaper on the desktop, motorcycles, like a whole bunch of them in a row. Just motorcycles everywhere. He talked about motorcycles, talked about motorcycles, talked about motorcycles. Guess what he got? Guess what he paid for it? Not a dime. It was given to him. Given. Getting a vision. Slapping a little hope on it. Having a little expectation because we know that that's what God wants for us. Slapping a little expectation on there. Starting to move and talk and act like it's really going to come to pass, like it's going to really happen. And next thing you know, thy kingdom come and thy will be done is happening right in front of you. Don't take this homework lightly. Don't think that my jokes or something, or me being crass and just being funny. No, 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 no. It's so important that everything we do here, it's so important that we bring to pass God's will on this earth. You, your hands. You're like, well, God could do it without me. No, he can't. If he could, we'd all be in heaven today. We'd all be there. Every last one of us, the entire earth, because it's his will that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. That's his will. If it was up to him, we'd all be there. Every last one of us. No, he needs us. He needs our hands. He needs our feet. Because he left and said, Jesus went and left and sat down, and he made us his body. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones that the kingdom of God will manifest through. And that's what grace is all about. Amen. Let's stand. Lots to process this morning. I like a good logical step through whenever the Bible's like really clear on what it wants to do or wants us to do. Amen. Trying to figure out if the Holy Ghost wants to do anything. So I'll just kind of get in a sense of worship for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Yeah. So some of you have been, all right, somebody, it might be more than one, says, I've done this before. I've tried this before. And I, you know, yeah, you can stay up there and say whatever you're going to say. It's just the time of the year for it. And this is what preachers do at this time of the year. Well, I'm here to tell you right now that if you go and you sit down and you take this seriously and you actually slap your faith to it, the will of God will come to pass in your life right in front of you. Right in front of you. The Holy Ghost said that... that just because you wrote it down 20 years ago does not mean it cannot come to pass now. Just because you wrote it down in the past, it doesn't mean it can't come now. And I'm telling y'all, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. This is not vision for 2025. This is vision for life. I just feel this year, God is going to give you vision for years to come. Things that he needs you to do and start working on. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. Father, we know that the hearers kind of deceive themselves a little bit. But Father, we purpose right now not to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. Because we know that when we do it, we're blessed. Why are we blessed? Because we see your kingdom manifest on this earth just like it is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for this awesome opportunity you've given us to walk out your word, to be your light. And we thank you, Lord, that this week you send somebody across our path that we could share your love, your experience, and your death, burial, resurrection with. And with purpose to tell them the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.